Good morning.
Morning.
All right. So today's passage comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And as you're turning to that, I'll go ahead and explain a little bit today of why there's a picture of a bunch of animals on the slide today. Well, a few weeks ago, Liv and I, with a couple of other friends, went down to Texas. And we talked a little bit about this during Sunday school, but we went to the art district, specifically the Dallas Art Museum, and we went to the American art portion, and it's amazing how many pieces of art that they show in public relates to scripture. It's very interesting to me, and I was very happy to see that one of the pieces was the one that you see right before you, which directly references the passage that we are going to be going over today. And you'll be able to see more specifically as we go through it. So if you're all there, all right. And the passage goes as this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with the eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the earth. This is the word of the Lord to us this day. Now, clearly, this is the book of Isaiah, Old Testament. We all know that this is predating a lot of what we like to look at. We like to look at the Gospels and Paul. But this promise is one not of the days of Jesus, but the days after and during the reign of Jesus. This passage I like to look at from time to time, and I just remember that this passage is in multiple parts, and it goes on further than what I just read today. But these two sections describe the ruler, and it describes his reign. It describes who rules over all things, and it describes all things that he reigns over beyond. And as I saw this portrait in that museum, I looked at it and I remembered this passage. And I do have to say, when I was looking for this image this morning to put into the slide, there are many different forms of that painting. It was strange to me when I looked at it, and I looked into it a little bit more, and the artist had made a few different copies of the same piece, of the same passage, to denote the different ways that we take that passage. In this particular one, you've got a group of men and women in the distance. You've got a couple of children there, and you've got your accumulation of animals. In all of the portraits, all of the paintings that this artist made, the arrangement of the animals under the tree stayed pretty much the same. In some, the child there with his arm sticking up as if he's raising his hand, In one, he's closer to the foreground and he's more in the center, taking a more prominent position. In others, that group of people is not in there at all, and it's just a blank landscape in the distance of clean, plain fields. And in others, the animals are just slightly reorganized. But those animals remain at the center of the piece. The animals that, if you were to put them all together in the same pit of a zoo today, there would be a lot of issues and a lot of PR needing to be done for that zoo. But in this depiction and in the way that Isaiah describes it in the book that we just read, they live in peace. They do not eat one another, but they eat with one another. Even though the differences between them are irreversible, the differences are unchangeable, these differences do not divide them, only by name. And this is due to the power and the ability of the young child leading them, this shoot from the stump of Jesse. And so as we go through this further, we'll look through this stump from Jesse. So as we go through the beginning, we notice that there is a list here of the different spirits, the different personalities, personality traits that are upon this shoot from Jesse, this leader who is to rise up. And it's in sets of two. This root, this branch that will bear fruit. This Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit, in general, will rest on him. And then it goes specifically into the types of spirit. First, we have the spirit of wisdom and of understanding. These two together is not a mistake. Clearly, we are made to know that wisdom is linked to understanding, which would make sense, that if you are wise, you are more likely to understand the situations going on. But in today's day and age, we all seem to notice that common sense may not be as common as we are led to believe. And even in that day and age, common sense was not as common as we would be led to believe. I mean, when you have a group of people who are the chosen people of God, they have been delivered time and time again from their oppressors. You would think they would know by that point to stick with that God that's delivered them. But they keep on going off and worshiping idols and mingling with outsiders that defile this name that they've come to love, and they grow to hate it. And they lose this understanding of where their place is. They lose this understanding of where they are in the hierarchy of everything. And so the spirit of wisdom and understanding is something that comes from the Spirit of the Lord, and it is resting upon this leader who, as we know, is Jesus Christ. And we know that he, through the Spirit, is able to dwell in us. And so these spirits, this sensation, should be, if we have put on the Spirit of God, would be something that we would inherit. And yet many of our peers do not seem to have that characteristic. And so that leads on to the next spirit, the spirit of counsel and of power. The spirit of counsel is one that is only available to those that have the spirit of power. You would think it would be somewhat switched, that the one who does counseling is counseling the higher power, but we in the faith know better than that. We do not counsel God. God counsels us as we live our day-to-day lives. And this is how many of our leaders in the world tend to do things, where someone below them counsels them, and then they go with that counsel to do other things, both in higher places like government officials or at the local level in businesses and communities. But in this hierarchy, in this kingdom, we are given notice that power breeds the ability to counsel. And this power and this counseling ability moves each of us, as we bear it, to help those around us who need a little bit of help. But we always defer it to the Lord to intervene when he can, when he must, in those situations where we have reached our wit's end, when our patience is stretched, and we don't know what to do. But we rely on the Spirit of God to work in us and through us to be that word of advice to our friends and family. Then we have the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. It is strange that in this passage, at least from a secular point of view, it is strange that knowledge would be tied to fear of the Lord. Many of us don't really equate the two together. We equate knowledge with a degree, with years of experience, with proximity to the situation at hand. But the knowledge that is important in this world, the knowledge that is necessary for us to go up and lead lives of Christ, is linked to knowledge of fear of the Lord. Without this proper fear of the Lord, we do not truly know what is in store for us. People stress out, people have worries, and they turn to self-help. They turn to books that try to give them lifestyle changes that are supposed to relieve stress and get them more organized. But in reality, there is only one self-help book that exists that truly works, and that is the Bible. And that self-help book isn't a self-help book at all. It is a book of the only way that we can help ourselves is by letting the Savior help us and accepting him into our lives. And the world does not know that because they do not properly fear the Lord. They fear many other things. They fear the powers that be. They fear science. They fear conspiracies. But I have to say, the most knowledgeable people that I have come to know are those that also fear the power of God and know their place in the kingdom. And even beyond that, this knowledge derived from the fear of the Lord, it gives us peace. It gives us joy, for he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And so these characteristics are laid out before us, and we are seeing not just the characteristics, but the actions that this shoot from Jesse will bear. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. The first two phrases judging by the eyes or by the ears, that is something that we as humans naturally do. We do that just off the cuff. We see someone, we hear someone, we hear the way they talk, they see the way that they dress, and we assume certain things about them. One example I can think of is when Liv and I were going to college church, they had and do have a very good ministry, a biker church that would meet on Tuesdays, and it's a very good community of guys. Very good, very nice. I would see them come in on Sundays with their biker vests on, long beards, grizzled hands, and I would be more than a little intimidated by them. But that's because of what I've seen and heard through TV shows, media, news outlets, the stigma of what people with this image, people with this sort of voice have. And this is the sort of way that he's describing, judging by the sight and with ears. But this leader to come up does not conform to that way of living. He works in righteousness and justice for the needy and the poor. And this isn't simply the lowest levels of the earth, the downtrodden, because we're needy too. Not needy in the same ways physically, but everyone is needy in spirit. We all do need, in some degree, Jesus to come in and fill our cup with that living water. So with righteousness and justice, he makes decisions and judges the needy and the poor of the earth, of his dominion. And with this righteousness and justice, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. And he will wear the righteousness as a belt and faithfulness as a sash around his waist. Word of mouth is one of the greatest ways that one procures authority, is it not? The way that you present yourself, the way that you speak, gives the opinion, the idea, that you know what you're talking about. If you say something confidently enough, people will believe you know what you're talking about until someone's in the audience who knows more about it than what you're letting on. But the thing about this leader is he does not go beyond what he doesn't know, because he already knows all things through God, through the Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of knowledge has given him the ability to speak out and strike the earth and condemn the wicked with just the words of his mouth. And he's able to do this through righteousness and faithfulness, which he wears about him, which, to me, sounds very familiar to New Testament. You know, the armor of God, all the different pieces together. And I would not be surprised if Paul looked back and saw Isaiah, saw what it said about Jesus, saw this prophecy, and noticed this imagery of wearing righteousness and faithfulness as garments. And as we are dwelling with Jesus, we are to take on the same mantle. And that is the leader. Now, the dominion, as we see here, is a very convoluted and weird dominion. You've got lions there, you've got sheep, you've got goats, you've got leopards, you've got oxen, you've got all these sort of things together. Oh yeah, there's a little snake there too. Oh no, that's the tail. But they're all there. They're all there. And they're all together, these typical enemies. Wolf with the lamb, leopard with the goat, calf and the lion, cow and bear, lion and ox. All them working together, eating together, living together under the same dominion. Now, something very interesting. Once you get through 6 and 7, you know, the basic description of the kingdom of God as it is under the rulership of Jesus, you get into verse 8 and 9. And you see something. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Now, cobras and vipers, they're snakes. And we all know, or at least most of us would know, the story from Genesis. Adam and Eve in the garden walking around. Eve runs off and is spoken to by a serpent. And this serpent tricks Eve into eating the fruit. And then Eve talks Adam into eating the fruit. And then we're here. This young child is now playing near the hole of a serpent and then putting his hand into the house of the serpent and is not harmed or destroyed. Now, snakes in this time, snakes in this area, are very dangerous beings, very dangerous entities. I mean, in Exodus, there's a whole thing about making a statue of a snake, and if you look upon it after you've been bitten, you'll be cured. But this young infant, this young child, this depiction of Jesus in this scenario, is not afraid of this, and in fact reaches in to the house of this entity, and is neither harmed nor destroyed. And not only that, he isn't harmed or destroyed, but they, the cobra, the viper, the serpents, will not harm or destroy on all my holy mountain. In the presence of this child, in the presence of Jesus Christ, the serpent has no power. When we are in the dominion of Christ, temptation, evil, has no power and no ability to take hold of power over our lives when we are fully in the dominion of Christ. And beyond this, not only is this holy mountain sacred, but the entire earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord, just as much as the waters cover the sea. Now, nowadays, you're looking at that and it's like, well, the waters only cover about 70% of the earth, so are you saying that the gospel is only going to cover? No. It's a lot. Greatly. The knowledge of the Lord covers the earth. It is full. Even if you were to take the top layer of the ocean and spread it out even more, you're going to cover everything. And so this knowledge, which as we read earlier, is only derived from the fear of the Lord, covers the earth in this time. So that is our hope. That is the promise that we bear. Now I could continue on and go through the battle plan that that Isaiah lays out. But it is clear from just this that the Lord will and has come, will establish his entire dominion on our plane of existence, and will make all things, the wolves, the lambs, the leopards, the goats, the calves, the lions, the bear, the cow, live together in harmony. Now, what does this mean for us today? Well, just as I mentioned earlier, the Spirit of the Lord is able to do a lot of things. It is able to reach beyond borders, reach beyond differences, unchangeable, irreplaceable differences. Reach over those and touch the hearts of those that need touched. Reach out and make judgments and decisions for the needy and the poor of this world who need him most. And yes, if we wanted to, due to the will of the Lord, there could be a waiting game, just waiting for this to take place over time. But we have the opportunity to be the vessel that God uses to send us out through our workplaces, our friends and our families, and to some extent our wallets, so that way we can reach the entire earth to the point where the waters cover as much as the sea. We are in a place and a time where we are able to do so much more than we could ever imagine at just our fingertips. Just a kind word here, a donation there, an action there, that small little acquaintance turning into a friend, we can make all the difference in all the kingdom. It takes one person to say one good thing to change many generations. Because I'm sure every one of you have someone that you can point to, someone in your mind, you can think of someone, a family member, a friend, who pointed you in the direction of a church, who pointed you toward Jesus. And surprisingly enough, someone pointed them to the church or Jesus. And then someone pointed that person to them or Jesus. And it goes on and on and on. And the thing is, we cannot let it die down now. We got to keep it going. I just think back. Now, this past week marks 4 years of me making the first step on my ministerial journey and getting my local minister's license at the church I grew up in. And I am so glad for the last 4 years and the 30-odd times I've preached and served in a church. But I'm not done yet. There is no minimum existing. There is no maximum that you can achieve on service to the Lord. It is a continuous and greatly growing thing. And each of us, till the day we die, have that responsibility. Despite the looks, despite the things you hear, despite the language barrier, you are able to touch the lives of those around you. And that is a great promise. And that is a great opportunity for us to not hoard up this promise and this life to just us, but spread it to those in our community. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, and we thank you for his dominion as he introduced it to us 2,000 years ago, and how we've been able to carry it on for these 2,000 years and anticipate moving it on to the future. But we can't slow down now. Though we may be tired as the world works against us, you have the ability to come on us and push us forward and allow us to do your work, not just in the world at large, but in our local communities. So grow us. Bring us to your fruition so that way we can see the kingdom of God fulfilled here and now and in the future. We anticipate your coming, but we more greatly anticipate the vast population of your kingdom in the future. So as we look forward, we pray that you continue to move in us and through us, through this day, this week, month, year, and the rest of our lives, as you live on us and through us, so that way we can fulfill your purpose and your will. In your Son's name we pray all of these things. Amen.